Can I have some questions from the floor now? We've got a few minutes for some more questions on anything that you've heard this morning or anything which springs to mind. Paul, you did have another question you were going to ask the board while other people are thinking.
Yes, Chairman, I do indeed. A further one submitted by people who can't attend this morning is, what are the most effective examples of CEDA's efforts to bring business and education institutions together?
Who wants to take that one?
Jim?
Are you on, Keith?
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for the question, Paul. This is a real priority for CEDA, of course, innovation-led development. Two examples the questioner asked, or two examples I'll give. Canterbury Innovation Centre, £7.3 million CEDA funding to provide a high-tech incubation space and support for budding entrepreneurs. It doesn't all happen just in Cambridge. We're spreading it around. And this is intended to be a magnet for local startups as well as those further afield, including the USA, Israel, Singapore, and Europe. And CEDA has worked closely in this project with the East Kent Spatial Development Company, with the University of Kent, with Canterbury Enterprises Hub, and with Canterbury City Council. A little nearer home for me, second example, in Oxfordshire. We've got an area in Oxfordshire which we call Science Vale UK, to the south of the city, around Harwell, around Didcot at Milton Park. And there is the location of the European Space Agency at Harwell, and potential there for the space sector to develop a space innovation sector. Good follow-up from the last presentation. An environment where businesses, universities, and government bodies can work together to create new technologies. The question asked about education institutions and business coming together. Until very recently, we had a vice chancellor on our board, which made a significant contribution to that. And you saw that skills map from Paul Carter earlier. I mean, that is something we should all worry about, I think. There is a move for CEDA to have a significant role in skills, which Lord Mandelson has been pushing forward. And that's going to be a real challenge, I think, for us to try to make sense and support business in leading on skills. It's a fundamental part of what we've got to do.
Thank you, Keith. Peter.
Yeah, Jim, you mentioned earlier the University Centre in Hastings, and frankly, the input from CEDA and the leadership first of Anthony Dunnett and then Pam has been extremely important in helping us both to get the funding, but also to get the momentum and the impetus for that raising of educational opportunity in my part of the world. And Jim, I will never forget the day that you and I beat up on Jackie Smith when she was the education minister and one of her civil servants who were trying to resist what we wanted to achieve in further education in Hastings. And I've never seen a civil servant cower quite so much with when Jim and I loomed over him and told him that he was the problem and we were damn well going to make sure that it got sorted out. Well, that sorting out is now built, and it's the new further education college in Hastings.
Yeah, we do have fun, don't we, Peter, at times. one of the badges that I'm wearing, just talking about skills today, is for the Skills Olympics, which are going to come to Britain in 2011, just before the real Olympics come. It's a massive event which is going to be held in London, where all the top young people of the world in their own specialist skills area will come to Britain. And I hope that it'll be a great success and that Britain won 3 gold medals in the Skills Olympics, which were held this year in Calgary. I hope that we'll be winning quite a few, and I hope that those will come from the southeast. It's a challenge for us. Yes, please.
Hello, my name's Philip Ely from the University for Creative Arts. I'm Associate Dean. I was quite pleased to see that in Chris's presentation, there was a mention there of writers in terms of Arthur C. Clarke. And his presentation came to life because there was a wonderful film that came with it. Now, I have a question in relation to the creative industries. Creative industries in the UK contribute quite a large proportion of GDP. It's about 8%. And no doubt in the southeast region, a high proportion too. The creative industries have a role to play in terms of innovation and growth. And I'd like to know, from CEDA, really, where we're expecting to see some leadership from both the board and the management team at CEDA in terms of supporting creative businesses currently and how we can engage the creative industries in innovation and growth in the region. Where's the leadership coming from?
Well, I hope it has come from CEDA. The chairman came out of the creative industry sector. And I still have 5 radio stations across Sussex. I know that when you saw Paul Carter's review of how they're going to look at the economic development of Kent, that culture and the creative industries were part of that. CEDA itself has invested money in the new Turner Contemporary, which is being built at the moment. We're very, very keen on the creative industries. Pinewood, we mentioned, I think Pam talked about the Prince of, where was he?
Prince of Persia,
which is a brand new film which has been made by Disney. We actually go out to Los Angeles and make sure that we attract those businesses here. But our own homegrown talent, the games industry, is fantastic. Right here in Guildford is one of the biggest pilot places in the world for games. So we do look to your university and the creation of them out of Surrey and Kent to come up with the new people, the new jobs that are really going to make this country the top place in the world for developing that. So there is plenty of support for your industry. Alex?
Yeah, I come from the northern part of the patch, Buckinghamshire, where Pinewood happens to exist. The economic partnership there has picked out the creative industries as one of its core sectors. We actively supported, against a lot of opposition, the expansion plans for Pinewood on the basis of its economic development prospects and its importance to the nation. We're pulling together National Film and Television School with the various businesses in Pinewood and the Forces Broadcasting, which is up in our neck of the woods as well, pulling them all together to make sure that they work more effectively as a team, working with the Innovation and Growth Team, which is another one of CEDA's initiatives that pulls together sectors, particularly with businesses in Milton Keynes in the north of Buckinghamshire and with Pinewood in the south, to create a sort of corridor of activity in this area. So I would say it's already flagged as critically important to a future knowledge-based economy.
Joy Okwadibo, Head of Regeneration Services from Havant Borough Council. May I just ask a question in terms of the role of CEDA in lobbying the government in terms of the skills agenda? Because a number of colleges, you know, if we're going to really get the next generation of people, youngsters, who are going to work in these high-tech industries to support economic development, the skills infrastructure is very, very important. Many of the college proposals have been suspended, especially in the southeast, and in Havant in particular, it's hit us very, very hard. You know, so what is CEDA going to do? Is this part of your infrastructure agenda? And I think it's very, very necessary. Thank you.
Rob.
Can I take that? Skills is something that's very close to my own heart, and I'm well aware of the problems that have happened on the capital programmes and the FE colleges, which I think is what you're referring to. The brutal truth is there is no money, and therefore we have to make sure that there's no money to complete some of these capital programmes. We've talked to government about that. I've talked wearing other hats. I'm on the Learning and Skills Council. At regional level, I'm also on the Higher Education Funding Council, which has an interest in HE, in FE institutions. What I would say, though, is that CEDA is the lead RDA on skills. each of the RDAs takes various leadership roles in talking to ministers, and it's a role I've already had meetings with some of the skills officials and with skills ministers to emphasize how important it is that we get the skills agenda right. What I do know is that the government is about to produce another proposal in which they talk about decluttering the landscape for skills. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get more money, but maybe that chart that Paul showed us will at least get a bit simpler, and the money that there is will get through quicker and more effectively. As I say, the sad fact is there will not be money in the short term to complete these projects, but we need to make sure that the colleges can still deliver the programmes that we need, because getting the skills right as part of the recovery of the South East is going to be absolutely critical. And that's skills right across from the most basic level right through to level four and level five, the research side.
I would say that the colleges in Havant have played a fantastic role in helping Havant recover from some of the job losses that they've had, and you've got some of the best further education provision anywhere in the country. So I think you've been doing a great job, and I do appreciate it. There's a lady at the back and one there.
Lillian Bold from Local Involvement Networks, my question is about the satellites. Is there an application that can be used to help deliver better public services as a way of sustaining? And I wondered if there was any way of linking up with the hubs, saying that you've got connections worldwide, globally, in Africa and other places. Although we might know everything, feel we know everything about delivering public services, there are some places that deliver quite substantial public services for very little in a sustainable way. So we might have things to learn.
Yeah, I think sometimes people don't realise just what roles satellites play in our life already. A lot of data communication which goes on around the world is handled, as the film showed you, by satellites which have been developed in this country. I think I'm not quite sure what you're saying there. One of the things which I'm not that keen on, for obvious reasons, is economic development. I'm all very keen on public services finding ways of being more efficient. I'm less keen on exporting jobs to do that. I think that that policy is something which I wouldn't like to see. But Chris, do you want to make a comment?
I think in terms of what can satellite do, we have come with a health warning label which says we don't want to frighten anybody. There's a very big brother-like quality of satellite. It's looking down at you, it's keeping an eye on you. If we listen to what the EU is saying at the moment about road management, and which the insurance industry is pushing, they're saying they want a little box in all of our cars that will just simply record all of the trips that we make, and it will be so beneficial because we'll be able to save on our insurance. Well, putting aside the civil liberties issues of whether or not we all want to be tracked all of the time, and naturally we're all saintly, so none of us have any problem with that whatsoever, there's a discomfiture in the way it works. We're also asked, with satellite, you know, can we secure our borders? Yes, we can. The degree to which we want to do so. We're asked, would you be able to help with the elderly and tracking and monitoring the elderly? Well, and dealing with broadband and broadband deficit in parts of Britain where there never will be a cable solution or a telephone solution because it's too far from the switch and it's too expensive. The answer is yes, we can do that as well. It's been a revelation to me this week. My mum, who is a still very active 71-year-old teacher, has mastered the internet. It's taken a while, taken a few years actually, but she's got there. The mobile phone came a few years before that. And so in the last week, I've been receiving email from her. And it's like being five again, you know? You just, mum pops up on the BlackBerry and you're, oh, Christ. hello, yes, I'm here, really. And I'm in a board meeting. And we know that that doesn't work to say no, so you just lay out. But what's excited me about that is that, you know, right now she's fit and sprightly and there, but you know, it comes to all of us that eventually we slow down. If we can get her and people like her onto internet-based services, possibly delivered by satellite as well, because it might be more cost-effective. It's an easy way for them to elect to be monitored and for them to elect to be communicated with. And I think that's the key difference. It's not about monitoring for the sake of monitoring. It's about offering people choices of where they want to be. And one of those choices might be they want to stay in their own home, and therefore one of those things might be a simple and cost-effective monitoring device. So I'm probably oversimplifying it. There are far more experts in the room than me. But I think space does offer some solutions to our changing society.
Thank you. Question?
Morning, hello. Tracy Aldworth from Aylesbury Vale District Council. I think one of the things we've heard this morning is about still the biggest challenge is access to funding and finance. And I just wonder what role the RDA, not only CEDA, but also the RDAs across the UK, can bring to bear in terms of untackling that, really.
Well, I think one of the things which Pam made clear is that we're going to invest over £250 million over the next couple of years ourselves. I think one of the other things which I said in my speech is that we've managed to leverage over 50 million euros out of Europe for some of our transport needs. That isn't going to stop. In fact, there you are. Detlef, just stand up. Yeah, stand up. Take a bow. Yeah. Detlef is responsible for some of our transport policies, and he's very good at going out into Europe and picking the pockets. These are programs that are out there for Britain, and sometimes we don't go after them. I think we work with our local authorities to make sure we get the best that we can. We're also going to be pleading with central government to invest in the golden goose. I think Paul was very right in his speech. The Greater Southeast is the locomotive of the UK economy. It pays a lot of taxes. And I'm very struck at the moment. A lot of people in government, both and in opposition, are really concerned about cutting costs. As all good businessmen know, you need to cut costs, but you also need to take care of the top line. Where are we going to make the money? And that's what CEDA is concerned about. And what I want to see is us generating more money on that top line, and that's what we're going to be concentrating on. And I'm sure Rob will tell you about some of his ideas for doing that. I'm looking at Celia Barlow here, one of our MPs, but she's a bit more important than that because she also sits on the Select Committee for Regional Development. So she's here monitoring. I've got to be careful what I say. But welcome anyway. It's good to see you. Any more questions? Well, can I thank you all for I hope you found it a stimulating morning.